Hi, welcome to Let's Get Into It. It is season four. We are back with Hallie Kiefer.
Oh, hello.
How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me.
We also have Nick Douglas and Tim Mucci.
Hi.
Hello.
No.
I'm setting up for the theme.
I'm going to give you a chance to introduce yourself not with whispering. You did that once, and then I had to spend like 15 minutes in audition making it at all audible.
You did?
Yeah.
Excellent.
All right.
Audible.com.
Oh, yeah. Is that your sneaky promo?
I wish so. We had promos for stamps.com. I think it's okay to talk about this now.
Let's knock one out.
Okay.
I wish someone would blow up the post office.
Stamps. Well, you don't have to. Instead, you can blow up your keyboard. Give me another.
Oh.
Give me another chance.
Okay. Nick, season four is looking rough for you so far.
This is not going to be my season.
Were the other ones your season? Or
they very much were.
Oh, good. That's good.
He carried some of the water in the last seasons.
I carried the water?
I was saying, you said earlier that everyone has heard and everyone uses all the time, carrying the water.
There has to be a segment in here somewhere. Hallie, Tim, not Nick, can you help me find where the segment is at the core? There's something to do with sayings.
Sayings that are not as common but should be?
Yeah. Do you have a saying that you can prove is public domain? We can look it up that none of the rest of us
know. I cannot prove anything about any of these sayings. I'm going to tell you that right now. I have no awareness of who owns any sayings. If that's a motto or a slogan, yep. I don't want to be sued. I don't want your podcast shut down.
And it has to be public domain.
No, exactly. I can't.
Oh, no one has come
the
up.
The happy birthday song is now public domain, so I will use that one.
And that's the standard. So if the saying has been made in the last 80 years, we can't say it.
Wow. The juice is more arduous than the squeezing.
Yes, that very popular saying that I'm assuming is in public domain.
The juice is more arduous than the squeezing.
Could somebody use an example or something?
Use it in a sentence?
Well, I think it is the sentence, so okay. You don't have to use it within another sentence, but...
Okay, I can use it in a sentence.
Okay.
One doesn't have to make the wheel which has been made again because the juice is more arduous than the squeezing.
Sure, okay.
Wait, let me look that up.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, public domain.
There you go.
Are you public domain?
Publicdomain.org.
Fucked up my own joke. All right. Season four. Gotta get back in the saddle. It's been a while.
Oh, looks like it's not someone else's.
Back in the saddle. That's a great saying.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
I wonder how many sayings and idioms pollute our vocabulary.
At the end of the day, I think we could all agree it's an easy way to convey what we're trying to express.
We get down to brass tacks. It's easy come, easy go.
M-I-C. K-E-Y.
Mickey Mouse?
That is definitely not in the public domain.
Wait, he is a mouse, but his last name is Mouse?
Huh. Yes, yeah.
Does that get confusing? Are there...
No,
are
if anything, the it's the least confusing thing I can think of.
Are all the mice named Mouse?
I don't know if it's racist to say, but I think that they are. I think so, yeah.
Well, no, there's one Speedy Gonzales.
Oh, that's true! Yeah. Well, then it was racist, I'm sorry.
Why is Speedy Gonzales not named Mouse?
Thank you for pronouncing it correctly, first of all.
Yeah, who are you trying to impress?
I'm the racist.
Why is Speedy Gonzales not
Mouse?
Named Mouse?
I think that's probably a stage name. I think Mickey Mouse probably does have
a
normal human last name, but then he's like, oh, I want to simplify it. Maybe it was very ethnic.
Yeah.
Maybe he wanted to, oh, Mouse is simple. I can't remember that.
Mickey Mouskowitz.
I was going to say a Feldstein. You just don't know what it was. And I think Mouse really just, the American people can latch on to that.
How do you explain Modest Mouse in the context of this ridiculous threat you're going down?
Right, and my question about that is how many ostentatious mice are there? Like a modest mouse, that's every mouse I've ever seen.
That Minnie, though, in her...
She's kind of fabulous.
In her red dress.
That's true. Okay, there you go.
That's an immodest mouse.
With her clogs.
You're like, I want to name a band, but I don't want to associate at all with that Minnie Mouse that everyone's always talking about.
I think we should have a segment called How Did the Band Come Up With the Name?
Well, my question would be, how did Korn get their name?
That's a great fucking question. One, why does someone choose Korn as a name? Just period.
Right.
Full stop. Two, the K thing. Mm-hmm. Three, the flipping of the K. There's so much shit that goes in there. Something takes a part of me. I was walking down the sidewalk the other day. This actually happened. And it matters that it was the other day because it was this fucking month.
Right.
And I saw a recently dried panel of sidewalking that someone with their finger had written Korn.
No!
And I was so impressed, I guess. It's like a great poll for like this moment.
Yeah.
Just why? It raised so many questions to me. It can't be a super fan, right?
But who else would it have done it?
Like
someone
me.
Who...
Someone I love. Like, it could have been me.
Wow.
Like if I made that choice, I would have been proud of me.
I mean, I know it's like, you want to hunt down that person and find out.
Yeah. I've never gotten the chance to actually write in wet Drawing sidewalk.
And if you had the chance, what would you write?
I would have fucked it up. I would have, like, written my name or something.
Oh, yeah. No, corn is right. Perfect.
Pedestrian.
Corn is so perfect.
It's so good. Not even corn rocks.
No,
just a name.
Just a reminder that corn exists.
I was obsessed with corn as a teenager, and I've been to so many of their concerts.
They wear masks, correct?
No, you're thinking of Slipknot?
So you went to a lot of metal shows when you were a kid, new metal shows?
All garbage, like Rammstein. I get not garbage, but I just mean, like, not like real metal. I just mean, like, metal that was also on TRL, like, at that time period.
Well, the metal that found its way to you in
outer
Cleveland area?
Mm-hmm, yes.
I have a feeling that that was a hotbed of new metal.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I knew people who were huge Juggalos. You know, that was a lot of...
Have you participated in a Juggalo event? Are you family?
I guess technically I went to a concert where it was like a bunch of different bands and ICP played, but I don't even think I stayed for it. So I can't in any way claim to be a Juggalo. I wish I had gone. I would go now.
Who are the openers that you were so excited to see?
System of a Down.
Oh, that's a good opener.
Slipknot, Rammstein.
All those three were opening ICP?
Power Man 3000, I want to say.
Whoa, what was their song?
Yeah, this was like a whole...
They were when the stars revolt.
The stars collide? The worlds collide.
This is what it's like when worlds collide.
That's it.
Are you ready to go?
Because that's Rob Zombie's brother.
Yes.
Really?
And that was their one song.
God, I'm so excited we're talking about nu metal right now.
Nick, are you left out? Do you not know nu metal? I feel
bad. I'm pleasantly observing.
Okay. Yeah.
What's the hardest thing you listened to when you were a kid?
Well, you were just, like, so angry at your parents. You were just like, I hate you, Mom and Dad! And
I'm going to put
like,
on Raffy.
Let me just go, from least Beluga. Hard and then see what I can remember ever getting close to hard.
Yeah.
Okay.
Getting close to hard. This is your memoir. The Telfair memoir. Yeah.
Which reminds me, Weird Al.
This is a segment called Getting Close to Hard.
Softest thing that I listened to as a kid. Classical.
Oh, yes.
Then, smooth jazz. Didn't learn anything about it. Not like Charles Mingus or anything. Just the jazz they played in between the classical on the station.
Right. And so these are two genres, a control of which you had at that age of just the name of the genre. Like never who.
I never learned an artist.
How would you have looked it up if you missed it? It would be like, dingly, dingly. Like, how do you look something like
and
that?
And between classical and jazz, it's like every 20 minutes a track ends.
Yeah.
After that.
Wait, I have an idea of what what the hardest thing Nick has ever listened to is.
Lay it on us, Tim.
No, I want to, maybe we should all guess.
You have your guess in your mind.
Yeah.
Like
have
the amazing
your guess.
Okay.
Cormac McCarthy. Right. You put it on your forehead and.
Yeah.
Okay.
And reveal after.
Yeah.
Okay, I have my guess placed.
Oh, okay. I forgot my third thing.
Wait. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Okay, I think I got it.
You had gotten through classical and smooth jazz as your two favorite bands.
Third up was all the artists on Prairie Home Companion.
You mean the guys All-Star Shoe Band?
Ha ha! And then they play a banjo for 10 minutes.
I guess next would be Dr. Demento. Everything in Dr. Demento.
That's solid.
Which before Weird Al, you'd have to go, those guys who did the Fish Head song.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys who did the Star Trekking Around the Universe.
Well, you probably had Take the Skinheads Bowling in that, right?
I don't know that one.
Dr. Demento?
I don't know that one. The guys who did Dead Puppies, Dead Alewives, maybe?
Oh.
That seems pretty hard. I feel like you felt when we were talking about nu metal right now.
Oh, next hardest. Oh, maybe this is the most hard. Uh-huh. Okay, so then Weird Al, and then...
So he's four down.
Ben.
Yes, Weird Al's
four
down.
Weird
Al's
the
down.
Fourth softest thing, yeah. And then Ben Folds. That was the first non-novelty, non-historical act.
Are you have a lot of novelty acts in there.
Non-entire genres.
Yeah. After that, probably the hardest. Shit. I keep forgetting them 10 seconds after.
Now it's our time to guess. Guess what you think he's going
to
say.
Oh, yeah, guess.
Okay.
Okay. The Beatles, Sgt. Pepper.
Oh, yes. All right, what do you think?
I was going to say that Dave Matthews Band song, Don't Drink the Water.
Oh, shit. That was pretty metal. There's blood in the water.
There's blood in the water. It's about Native Americans.
I was going to say either PJ Harvey or that song where it's like, you're my butterfly, sugar, baby.
Crazy Town.
Crazy Town, yes.
Beatles was in there.
Yeah.
And then Everybody Dance Now, which I think I've talked about how I would call the radio station.
Again, there's 5-6 down from the softest thing you listen to is... Everybody Dance Now.
Everybody Dance Now.
It was a very demanding song. He didn't like the pressure it put on him.
It was very aggressive.
Oh, I Love You Always Forever was above Everybody Dance Now. And then the hardest thing that I listened to Great. Oh no, also the You've Got Mail soundtrack.
What's on that soundtrack? I hate to put a halt to this.
I'm going
to
sit right down and write myself a letter. And
you sing that?
That song by the Cranberries.
Don't keep moving.
What?
Slow down for
the rest
of us.
I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter. Like Bobby Darin or something.
Okay. I don't know.
And make believe it came from you. That might be from the my best friend's wedding
soundtrack.
What's
the third line?
I'm going to write me words oh so sweet. They're gonna knock me off my feet. A lot of kisses on the bottom.
Whoa.
I'll be glad I got them. I know, so...
That's hard.
Wait, so okay, play. This is yeah. your... Wait, this is the... He's writing a letter to himself.
Yeah.
About rim jobs?
About...
Pretending it's from the person he loves.
Oh, that's
it's fucked up.
You know, that's fucked.
Yeah.
That's toxic masculinity.
A hardest song is a tie between Jesus Freak...
Oh,
what
hell
would
yeah.
people think if they hear that I'm a Jesus freak? And Jars of Clay,
yes.
Flood.
Oh,
but yeah. if I can't swim after 40 days, it's about the flood.
Those were harder, I would say. Mm-hmm. Definitely the other ones than you said. Not compared to any other music, but for sure.
Yeah.
I had never heard of Jars of Clay until Nick introduced me to them.
I love Jars of Clay.
They were warmed over Nirvana, and Nirvana, I learned later, is warmed over something else, right?
I don't know.
Probably.
Some edgelord once told me, like, oh, it's okay that you only were into Jars of Clay, because Nirvana was still just watered down, whatever.
Daniel
the fuck.
Johnston?
Oh, boy, this sounds like the kind of person you just, if you're talking to, you just have to fall backwards out of a window.
I don't have a good radar.
Oh, interesting.
That.
Whoa.
What's the most pretentious thing that you actually believe?
Ooh.
Yeah, the one that, like, makes your spleen hurt, because you hate that you,
yeah,
like, believe
right,
it, but
right.
you do, and you believe it so much that you...
Yeah, mine is an actual... This probably makes it more pretentious, is that it's an actual bit of knowledge that I seem to know that nobody else does.
Oh, it's going to be terrible,
yeah, right,
whatever it
right,
is.
Right, right, right.
Tim just pulled his hair up into a top knot for this.
It's so tiny.
So what is the...
Oh, we have to answer your question first.
Yeah, yeah, this way I could smack you down with the real answer.
Yep.
What is the Immaculate Conception?
Isn't it like Mary, she was born without original sin, so that's how she was able to conceive Jesus?
Yes.
Boom!
Yeah. This is
so
why
pretentious,
it's pretentious,
after all.
Is that you thought you were the only one who knew it, right?
Yeah, it's that's not. You are.
I just feel like I know that from, like, Catholic, you know, going to
Sunday
school.
A lot
school.
Of people that I know who are also religious, yeah, are rubes.
What do they think
don't
it is?
Know
these
that.
Rubes.
They think it's the... Jesus's birth. They think it's the virgin birth. They switch the two.
Mm. Well, I mean, I could see that for
yeah.
sure. That adds up.
But that
makes it less pretentious, I think. Because
that's
like,
the culture of misogyny that we live in, that we're so free to take away from Mary, the mother of God.
Tim, take the top knot down.
It's cutting up circulation. You're right, Tim! Yeah.
Jason.
I'm actually having trouble surfacing one right now.
Okay. We'll circle back.
Nick, we still trying to narrow it down over here?
Quinoa's actually good.
Okay.
I like it too. I mean.
Yeah, we all do.
Yeah, nothing wrong with quinoa. It's an ancient grain.
Ooh, Tim, raise the stakes here.
That's an idiom. I should play a little sound every time that we say an idiom in this.
You're going to have to put a little thing at the top of the episode. Otherwise, it's going to be really annoying up to this point.
Yeah, but you don't want to put the cart before the horse here.
Is fuck you an idiom? That counts.
Yeah.
That's two words that...
this is a pretentious thing. I once rebuffed someone for saying that Tom York's album was good by asking them to sing a single phrase from it.
Ew. Oh, that's terrible.
And I was right, because they were like, oh, the one that goes... because he doesn't write songs anymore.
That was like a street fight.
That might be the most pretentious thing.
That what I just did right there?
Yeah.
Find a compelling, accurate reason to belittle Tom York.
And then sing... an imitation of him,
yeah.
With a smile on your face, a smile of victory.
And a devious glint in your eyes.
Yeah.
Stuck it to old Tommy boy there.
Oh boy. I mean, you're not wrong.
That's how the entire song would go if he'd written that in the last 5 years.
What's that song that's like, that's like an oldies song. It's,
what the fuck is wrong
I'm
with
sorry,
you?
Sorry, but it's like that.
Is it smooth jazz or classical?
They're like,
oh. I want to be clear. The thing about being pretentious is not that you're wrong. It's that you are expressing an opinion as fact, when in fact no one else cares. Even if that opinion is, I think, totally accurate.
Right.
That's you're not wrong. You're just a dumb boy.
That was beautiful and salient. I'm going to ride that into a break.
great.
Thank you. Shelley Duvall. So that's how they work.
Sing us a song, it's the Cinema Balls.
I wanted to hear another one before. Yeah, I have to do one.
All right, okay. Tim.
I'm a little psychic girl. They dumped blood on me. Sissy SpaceX.
Nice.
I'm obsessed with this woman that I work with. I'm going to become her. Shelley Duvall and Sissy Spacek.
Is that a
single white female?
I think it's three women.
Is oh, I've never
Altman
seen that
movie.
Okay.
Oh boy! Speaking of pretentious, we are. All right, I have a song. I have a.
All right.
Being a kid is hard, especially when the devil's inside you. Ellen Burstyn.
Little Nicky.
Okay, good guess.
There's so many devil children movies. I don't watch horror movies very much.
Yeah, this is maybe an unfair category. Not that we should change it at all. I'm just saying to you it's unfair.
No.
I watched a horror movie.
What did you watch?
Last week, I watched...
Sing a song.
Sing the song and we'll guess it.
Sing it and we'll guess it.
I was like 1 foot over the cliff and you're like, what?
I know.
Yeah.
Sing us a song, it's the Cinema Balls.
That's the jingle now. I read a book, a thing came out of the book, but it was really inside me, cause it's grief. Australia.
Oh, Babadook.
Yeah.
The. Babadook, comma, the. Did you guys, like, is there something, like, in your life, like, a genre or, like, a thing that you really used to love that, like, now that you experience it, you're like, eh?
Funk music.
Oh. Okay.
Or anything that's funky was, like, a thing that, for a while, was just very satisfying to me. Mm-hmm. Late teens, early 20s, there's like, I love Soul Live and like all these great funk bands and had opinions about who was doing better and who had the great grooves and all these things. And now I just don't understand why anyone would seek out that feeling or what it even is.
Mm-hmm. Every time someone says something super white in this episode, this sound will play. So what Jason just said.
What about that was super white?
That you are just like, not just not into funk music, that you're like, I wonder what makes anyone like funk music. That seemed very white to me.
You were here when we did 6 minutes on Korn, and this is the stuff you're jumping in as being too white? I actually think of funk as a white appreciated art more so than a black appreciated art in its modern context.
I guess when you say funk, I have a hard time separating from like jam bands. Like in my mind, a funk band is sort of a form of jam band, which
is
like the whitest thing I could possibly
think. In its modern iteration, it largely is. It's not like the soul
like
side of funk.
Yeah.
No, that's a different thing to me. That has just become soul. Like funk is like Red Hot Chili Peppers. It's like music where they start by laying down a bass groove. Yep. It's like I'm out immediately.
And I love Red Hot Chili Peppers, but I agree. Like I wouldn't just listen to them now versus when I was like a kid. I'd be like, oh shit.
Right?
Yeah.
And I used to love that feeling when like a great bass groove would go down and I'm funking around. I was like, yeah, I'm into it. And I'm like, I don't know why I'm expected to believe what this person is emoting.
That is music that's for kids and like 50-year-old white people. I see what you're saying now. That's the stuff you hear in a park. It's like a kid and it's an old guy with like hair down past his shoulders and no shirt and jorts and he's smoking a cigarette and like borrowing sips of other people's beer and they want to be cool so they're letting him drink the beer and he's like dancing out there and he's there with like a 3-year-old with the beautiful Goldilocks curls. That's what that music appeals to.
Hey, can I have some of that beer?
Yeah, I guess so, man. Oh, wow. You put your whole mouth all over it, man.
Look at my wiry musculature as I dance around.
Not an ounce of fat on you, dude. You gotta get out of the sun. You're bright red. Your baby needs some sunscreen, too.
I'm just trying to groove here. Oh, my little golden child.
This is your baby, right?
Oh, yeah.
Look at him dance. Oh, my God.
Boom, bang, biggity boom. Well, we did that justice.
Yeah, I think so.
Huh.
I think congratulating us on a sweet riff is also the whitest thing that we have been doing.
So that's the kind of funk that I don't like. And I don't get. I feel a general sense of disdain when I see someone about to beatbox.
Like on the subway? You're just once like,
it,
oh!
Yeah, and once it starts, it disappears.
Once it starts, like, I'm okay, and, like, I get that it's happening, but it's that moment beforehand where, like, no, why is this choice being made? Any other choice in the world? And then it happens, I'm like, all right, fine. It's not bad.
I guess it's, like, the things that I would wish that I would be so unaware of reality that I would just launch into something,
right?
You know, or, like, dance or something like that. Like, and not that it's, whether it's good or bad, but just sort of having the wherewithal to be, like, I'm just going to be free. I don't have that. And maybe that's just adulthood. It's like, I would have to, if I was going to do that, I'd have to like prepare for 9 months and do it one time and then go talk to my therapist about it. Like I couldn't.
March 2017, I'm going to funk, dance, and beatbox.
In the subway, and everyone will watch, and it'll be fine.
Yeah, I think it's just, I cringe when I imagine the mind who reads the situation is like, this needs a little more.
I feel the same way about acapella. I'll be honest. That here is maybe my pretentious thing, but when the acapella was huge for like 3 years, like two years ago, it was just like not everything has to have eight people harmonizing and one guy does the tambourine part.
There's a great version of acapella singing, and then there's the thing that we all had to be subjected to during its rise to fame. And the thing we had to be subjected to is a gaggle of white kids, one of whom beatboxes, giving you the hits of the day. In four-part harmony.
Right.
I think bad acapella is now across racial. Everyone is equally shitty at acapella at this point, I think. You go fly Virgin Air and you'll get treated to like a nice Black Eyed Peas tribute about buckling up.
And the beats keep running, running, and running, running.
Like, at least if you're going to do acapella, have some sense of shame about it. It's the decent thing to do. Walk in there and be like, I'm sorry, everyone, and then do your fucking song.
Hey, we're the Funk Tones, and I'm really sorry about this. 2, 3, 4.
Everybody, let's get into it. Get stupid. Come
on. What's your best accent?
Oh, it's a pizza pie. It's probably my best one.
Who is this, and why are they so worried that they've discovered it's a piece of pie?
I'm a Papa John!
This is what you cook. Why is this freaking you out?
I'm just excited.
You put a pizza in there and a pizza came out. Is this weird for you?
Yes, I don't know how to make a pizza. I'm a Papa John!
Your name has been on this business for 40 years.
You put the ham, you put the pineapple.
No, you don't put in... Okay.
Every time it's like a new pizza. I have amnesia.
No, it's Hawaiian pizza every time with ham.
What? Who are you? Where am I?
John, we really appreciate you coming in.
What does my shirt say? Oh, Papa John!
John, just please go back home.
Where are
we
my
don't
children?
Need to, we can operate this on our own. John, your children, they miss you. They want you to come back home. Please leave this branch.
The pizza's on my children. Let me kiss them.
The pizzas aren't your children are real children. Did you put your children in the oven thinking
the
they were pizzas?
If the pizzas are here tucked in bed.
They were here when I got here. Well, see you guys later. So that would be my best accent.
Okay,
I think.
Good accent.
That's a great one.
I feel like we've done enough damage here.
Oh, yeah. Horrible damage to ourselves and others.
Do you have anything to plug?
I write for Vulture. You can read that. Other than that, just watch a bunch of horror movies and tweet me about them.
Dope. Where can I tweet at to you?
Oh, at my full name, at Hallie Kiefer. Hallie like Barry, Kiefer like Sutherland.
I'm Jason like the Argonauts. See you in a couple weeks. Bye.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com. Let's get it started.